maybe in my mind, but this term, I've had a couple of times to share with them and open the word to them and just spend time with them. And I love just absolutely spending time with them and preaching to them. And I carry a burden for them so much. And so tonight I'm going to preach to our young people, and the rest of you can listen in. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible then to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, particularly verse 9 through verse 12. And I'm preaching from this because this is a scripture that, now of course Psalm 119 is a long psalm, but this is a portion of scripture that is written very directly, and it says so, written to young people. And whether you are a young person or whether you are not as young as you used to be, I think that if you are discerning and have a heart for God when you read this scripture, you will say, oh, I wish that our young people would heed the word that God gives them here in this portion of scripture. Let's read all of Psalm 119 together from the beginning to the end. And then we'll go home. No, let's start at Psalm 119. Follow along. I'll read beginning in verse 9. And we will read together through verse 12. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. And so let's pray to just ask God to help me as the preacher. But really, what I really want God to do, I mean, I want his help as a preacher. I realize the supernatural work of the proclamation of the word. But really, my heart for this, and really God's heart for this, is for these young men and women, and these boys and girls in our congregation, that they would hear God's word and heed God's word. So, Lord, we pray that you would help these beautiful young people. They have a long life ahead of them if Jesus tarries. Help them to choose wisely. And that is our request. And even as we open the word in the very few minutes we have, my request is that you would help them and speak to them in a way that will make a difference in their lives now. And when they look back, if Jesus tarries 20 years, they will be glad and rejoice that they heeded the word that you gave them on a night like this. And so we ask for this to be done, yielded to the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. This portion of Scripture tells us about the power of God's Word, and there are four powerful qualities of the Word of God that God tells us about here, and I want our young men and women, our boys and girls, to really understand and heed. First, I want you to notice that God tells us about the cleansing power of the Word of God. Now, there is a great question for a young person to ask that begins this portion of Scripture, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Isn't that a great question for a young person to ask? That's a great question for a person of any age to ask. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What is God's answer to the question that God asks in this verse? The answer that God gives to the question that he asks, you'll find in the latter part of this one verse, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. To a young person who wants to know the power of a clean life, to know the pure life that is pure in an impure world, God's answer is, if you'll listen to the word, God will give you the power to live a pure life in an impure world. We are going through, young people, a great cultural change. You talk to old people, and I was told in the Coleman family on their way into church this morning that two of the girls were talking and they decided that anyone over 50 is ancient. Boy, that's rough. Ancient at over 50. But we live in a very interesting time. There's a cultural change. And for all of you ancient people out there, you have witnessed something that our young people will not understand. And they'll think it's just old people talking about how America used to be. They'll think, that's just old people talking. But they do not understand that truly there has been, and we are in the process of a cultural revolution in this country. And listen, the world has always been an impure world. America has never been the paragon of virtue, but America as a whole was a much more virtuous place with virtuous people in the ideal as well as the practical. But young people, you are growing up in a world that is a world, frankly, of moral filth. The images, the language, everyday language, and the profanity of it, and that's just the women. And you go to school, you hang out at a playground, hang out with young people in the world out there, and our young people understand the profanity. My goodness gracious, just turn on the television and watch the politicians anymore. It's disgraceful. The culture and the values of our culture. Yet, each of you young people have a very special calling, a holy calling. How do you stay pure in a world that is not just impure, but a world that is anti-pure? There's only one way to stay pure in a world that is anti-pure, and that is by taking heed to this book, the Word of God. We live in a world where deceit, lying, stealing is encouraged, and in fact, it is expected. I hope you kids never experience this, but the chances are likely that you young people will one day have your first car accident. How many of you all remember your first car accident? Yeah. Well, the other week we had gone up to visit our kids stationed in Virginia, had a car accident. There was a restaurant that we were going to, and we were going to take everybody, and my sister-in-law who lives in that in Virginia Beach, Virginia, was with us, and we're all in this in my Honda, and we're into this very small parking lot, and they have valet parking. And you have these guys that are doing the valet parking, and they're squeezing people into places that really did not fit, to be honest with you. And then it's a long wait at this restaurant. And so there are people coming and there are people going, and these valets are trying to get people in and get people out. And then it was just a mess. And then the people that are trying to, that didn't want to stay at the restaurant and eat because it was such a long wait, they were getting very impatient. They just kept inching their cars, little forward in there. You know how frustrating and tense it is? And they're trying to get around me because we had our son-in-law and daughter ran into the restaurant to find out how long it would wait. We'd have to wait. And the valets are saying, go, go, go. And the people, but I mean, I'm sort of stuck in the middle. I'm between a truck and a hard place. And I was trying to look over my shoulder in my side mirror to just see if I could inch up to let that guy behind me that was so impatient, and I was getting frustrated that he was so frustrated. I couldn't control anything. I was just there. And the valets are, come on, come on, come on. Well, wait. And so while I'm inching forward, I ran into the front of a Toyota truck. You know that sick feeling when you hear the sound of plastic? Oh, man. Car full of people. Parking lot packed. Jump out. Oh, man. The valet says, oh, it'll be okay. Go ahead, go ahead. This happens all the time. Nobody stops. Well, you know, well, looked at my car. My car was, I mean, it was messed up, but it was, you know, rubbing compound took it off. It really did. Rubbing compound took it off. And that car had, you know, the plate holder on the front was cracked. Maybe there's, who knows anymore with all the electronics. But he said, go, go, go. I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm responsible for this. He said, nobody does that anymore. I said, I'm not nobody. That's not how I do it. So, you know, we took the numbers and I wrote it down and they gave it to the person who owned that car. And later on, the guy's mom called me. A grown man, his mama calling me to take care of his problem. I wanted to be nice. And I was nice, but in my heart I thought, what kind of a man lets his mama call for him? He may be married with a child, but he's not a man. He's a boy in my book, but that's another subject. I'm paying for his Toyota truck to be fixed. The insurance, my insurance claim contact person called me on my phone the next day. Said, okay, just want to tell you what, or want to find out what happened. I told him what happened. And I was telling him, I could not believe that the valet just was waving me on after I had hit that car. I said, I couldn't believe it. He said, you know, that is just the way it is today. You can't trust anybody to be honest. Can I tell our young people this? That in a world where dishonesty and deceit and irresponsibility is prized and encouraged and passed over as if it's okay, it is not okay. You represent the God of truth and the God of glory. Every area of your life has to represent Him. And when you are told and pushed in this modern world where the values have changed and the values that are lived out do not represent the values of who God is and a disciple of Christ, you need to remember that in an impure world, I'm going to take God at His word and let His word shape my life so that I live a pure life in an impure world. Well, then, the psalmist tells us something else about the power of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 10, he tells us of the keeping power of the word of God. We read these words, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. This is a psalm that I have this year already prayed for so many of our young people. And I've had them on my mind, particularly when I just have them on my mind, and so often this psalm has come back to my mind. And it reminds us of a wholehearted commitment. With my whole heart have I sought thee. And let me ask you to examine your heart. Are you seeking the Lord, young men and women, with your whole heart? What a difference wholehearted commitment makes in a person's life. Patrick Henry, if you go to Williamsburg, Virginia, they used to show, before you would go into Williamsburg, they used to show a documentary on the life of one of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry. He was a Civil War hero. He began to demand that the colonists had the same rights as Englishmen. He was a born lawyer. He was given a stack of books, and in 6 weeks he learned the law, taught himself enough law that he had to be permitted to take the Virginia bar exam and was entered in the Virginia bar. In the years following, he tried thousands of cases, winning most of them. In 1765, with the Stamp Act, it just infuriated him. And the unfairness, as he saw it, with which the colonies were treated. He viewed all of this and the way the British carried out their affairs in these colonies as a violation of the Magna Carta. And when things finally came to a head, he lifted his voice in Richmond, Virginia, and he has a very famous speech that he made. "Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace," he said. "But there is no peace. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains? I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And Patrick Henry paid the price. He's revealed today because he understood that his life was given to something far greater. Wholehearted commitment. And young men and women, your life is, God's called you to give your life to something greater than yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ. "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He makes a statement of his own life. "I've made a choice in my life, the Lord. I'm going to give you all of my life." But then he prays, "Lord, I know how prone I am to wander away from you. And so, Lord, as a young man, would you help me not to wander?" Do you find yourself prone to wander? In the privacy of your own heart, the choices you're making. Whenever you wander from God, what keeps you from wandering? What keeps you from wandering is the powerful word of God, because as you are wandering, it is this word of God that brings you back and guides you back into truth. It is this word of God that protects you from making choices that are unwise. And so, with a heart that is wholeheartedly committed to the Lord, this word has the power to keep you in your life. So here's what you need to know. You need in your life, you need to become convictional about who God is. Not just, I assent to this, but no, this has to become your own conviction of your own life. Convictional about who God says He is. Convictional about the consecration of your life to God, that my life isn't mine, my life is God's. Convictional about loving God and the things that God loves. So that means convictional about the role of the Lord's church in my life. And convictional, not just about the role of the church, but convictional about the principles of the kind of church that I'm involved in. Principles about your life and about God's money that He is entrusting to you, your allowance, your job, whatever you do with that. And then in time, what God entrusts to you, convictional that this is God's money to be used for Him and for my enjoyment, yes, but for Him. Convictional about people, the kind of people that you are, person you are becoming, and the kind of people that you are investing in a positive way, the kind of people you listen to, the kind of people you contribute to in their lives, and the kind of contribution you make. You see, in your life, God will put so many people, so many will bless you, there will be others who will not bless you. You'll have a chance to invest in people, to have an influence in other people's lives. Be wise in your investment. These are all convictions that must come into your life to know the keeping power of the Word of God. So what is your prayer? Lord, would you do whatever it takes to keep me from wandering from you? The psalmist tells us about the cleansing power of the Word of God and the keeping power of the Word of God. And then the psalmist tells us about the correcting power of the Word of God. You'll notice, if you will, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What is in your heart? That private place that nobody but you and God can see. What is in your heart? It's that private life where you have thoughts and questions. It's there that you make the decisions of life. What is it that is in your heart? And the psalmist says, I made a decision in my life that I'm going to take God's word, and in that private place in my life, I'm going to hide God's word in my heart so that as I entertain those secret and private thoughts, that God's word will shape them and God's word will correct me. And so as I yield to the word that God's word that I've hid in my heart, that I will not sin against him. Can I share another benefit? Another benefit is when temptation comes. When you have God's word in your heart planted there, when temptation comes, now all of a sudden God's word becomes real to you. So today we learned of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We read it together as a congregation at 10:30. I don't think we did it at 8:15. Let's see how well we can do together. You think we can do it together as a congregation without turning to it? Let's check our memory. And usually when that happens, there's a reason I like to read it. And usually what I have to have happen is you all carry me through. So I'm happy for you to carry me through. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a great one on temptation. For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Well, how'd we do? Did okay? You know what's so wonderful is if you have that word in your heart when the temptation comes, you can claim it right there. Now, God, you're faithful. I don't have to do wrong here. God, you give me power to fight and to overcome. God, I'm trusting you in it. And any time in your life you have God's word, now when it's in your heart, you can pull it out. How many of you really have a good memory? Who has a good memory? Be honest. You don't. It's not bragging. It's true. Yeah, a number of you have a good memory. How many of you don't have a good memory? How many of you can't remember if you have a good memory? Used to have a good memory. Whether you have a good memory or not, I'll tell you, it's really great to take the word and put the word into your heart and memorize it. It sure works great for tests whenever you can memorize things, doesn't it? And boy, in the tests of life, it sure helps whenever God's truth is implanted in your heart and you have it there for ready reference. And God brings by the power of the Holy Spirit his word to you when you need it to help you in that temptation. Now, God, the Holy Spirit may not, as you look back over your school year, you may have prayed for God to deliver you and give you that is in that you studied and say, God, the Spirit, would you please bring to my remembrance that which I have studied? Or in some cases, have not studied. So he may not do that. He might do that for you in your tests. I don't know if I can say that for sure. But I do know that Jesus said that the Spirit would bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've commanded you. So when you need it, if you will take the word and you will memorize it and put it into your heart and mind and read it and meditate on it and let it sink deep into your soul, the Holy Spirit of God will bring that to your mind when you need it. Wonderful. And then there's one other work that the Spirit or that the Word of God does, and you'll notice this, it is the enlightening power of the Word of God. Now, verse 12 begins in praise. Blessed art thou, O Lord. And then he ends, after his praise, he ends with a prayer request. And here is the prayer request that the psalmist makes. He says to the Lord, teach me thy statutes. Have you ever asked someone to teach you something? When you ask somebody to teach you something, you acknowledge that I don't know what I don't know. There are things I don't know, and so would you teach me? Because you evidently know what I don't know, and I don't know what I don't know, so would you teach me? And the psalmist, he knows so much. All you have to do is read the entirety of the psalm. It's going to take you more than a few minutes. And when you read the entirety of this psalm, you realize that this is a guy who knows a lot about a lot of things, a lot about life. But with all that he knew that he didn't know it all. And so his prayer in the middle of this psalm, or really the beginning of the psalm, is, Lord, would you teach me? See, whenever you ask someone to teach you something, you acknowledge, I don't know what I don't know. But then you acknowledge something else in this passage. This psalmist acknowledges something about God. God, you know what I don't know, so would you teach me? What a great prayer for a God-honoring life. Lord, I don't know what I don't know. You know what I don't know. So, Lord, what I'm asking for you to do is I'm asking you to teach me. I hope that's the desire and attitude of your heart, young men and women. Can I ask you to make a commitment and we close out our time together? I'm going to ask you to make this commitment. Would you make a commitment first, whether you're a young person or an ancient person or somewhere on that scale, whatever that is, would you make a commitment in your life to be in the Word? What is your normal week like? Do you take time investing, spending time with God in His Word? I'm not talking about just what you have to do for your scripture memory things, though, hey, put that in your time with the Word. If you happen to have in your school or if you're homeschooled, you have Bible assignments. And I'm not talking about doing your Bible assignments, though that may not be a bad thing, is to incorporate those things into your personal time with God. But a personal time where you are regularly in the Word. And that's whether you're 9 years old or you're 90 years old. Personal time with God in the Word. Would you make a commitment that in my life, oh, I'm not going to make it every day. I realize there are ups and downs, but I'm going to make a commitment in my life to regularly be in the Word so God can speak to me. Be in the Word. Here's the second commitment. The second commitment is, would you be under the Word? Be under the Word? That would be sort of odd. When's the last time I've done that? I've never done that. But I mean this, that you say, God, this is what you say. You are the authority, and I will willingly put my life, my will, my mind, my heart under your Word. You're either over the Word or under the Word. Over says, God, I'm doing my life. I don't care what your Word says. Under says, God, my life isn't mine. Mine is yours. I will put my life under the authority of your Word. Be in the Word. Be under the Word. And then here's the third commitment I'm asking you to make. It's a great commitment. Be behind the Word. Thy word, we read in another scripture in this chapter, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide thy word in my heart. Is that right? That I might not sin against thee? Did I get that right? Would you say, God, I'm going to go through this journey in life. And I don't want to run ahead of you. And I don't want to do my own thing. I have a higher call. My calling is to live my life for you. And so, Lord, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let your word guide me. And everywhere I go, I want to make sure that I'm not running ahead of you, but I'm going to stay behind you and your word and let your word guide me. And it'll be step by step at times, and it's going to be dark sometimes that I won't be able to see for sure what's all out there. I won't be able to see the big picture. But God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to let you lead, and your truth will be that light that I need in each step of my life. Be behind the word. And if you'll commit to being in the word and under the word and following behind the word, my friend, you will look back. It's hard to imagine 20 years from now. I'm looking at some of these young people. I was talking to Owen right before church tonight. And Owen, man, I love Owen's hair. When Owen was a little guy, I used to love just to put my hands in his hair. And I remember, I liked that because, see, when I was a kid, you aren't going to believe this, I had hair like Owen's. I had this thick, sort of bushy head of hair. And I remember after church, standing in the parking lot talking. If you know my mother, it doesn't surprise you. And I remember standing there in this with adults, and adults would, they'd reach down and they'd have their hand in my hair, doing this in my hair. And I still want to do that with Owen's hair. I was teasing Owen because everybody else comes in and they're rain soaked. Not Owen, man. He has an umbrella hair. It's awesome. He's protected. So I said to Owen, when I was a kid, I used to have hair like you. And I said, look what you have to look forward to. You know, really, you look back on it and you look at these beautiful young men and women and you wonder, 20 years from now, what are they going to look like? What are they going to be like 20 years from now? But I can tell you this, 20 years from now, and you can't imagine probably 20 years from now. I can't imagine 20 years from now. If you will commit to be in the Word and under the Word and behind the Word in every step, you'll look back and you'll be so grateful. You will be so grateful. Would you rather live a life with regrets or a life without regrets? And that's why this powerful word. I want you to understand the power of the word. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you that this book is a guide. It keeps us from sin, from our own wandering way. This wonderful word where you reveal yourself to us and you teach us. It is our prayer that whether we are young or old, it is our prayer that our heart's desire is that you would teach us your ways. And so for each of our young people on this day, we pray, O Lord, that this would be their heart's desire and the commitment that each one makes in his or her life as an individual. For we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.